Thank you, everyone, for coming. Great to have you all here. Welcome to the Auckland AI Meetup ChatGPT Expert Panel. What an awesome venue this is and what great catering that was. So thank you so much to Victor. Let's give them a round of applause. None of the content or opinions presented during this evening represent the views of VTS. We are an independent, community-driven organisation. That said, we are very grateful to Victor for this no-strings-attached hospitality that we're getting. So, yeah, thanks again for that. Okay, now, it's my pleasure to welcome Shailesh Manga, who's the Chief Operating Officer of VTS, to the stage just to say a few words as our host.
Stage.
Wow.
So glorified formal, right? Stage. Hi, I'm Shailesh.
Just being on shot over here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure, no problem. Hi, I'm Shailesh, also known as Sal. At VTS, for those of you that don't know, Victor gets electrons to your house and keeps the lights on. Victor Technology Solutions, we build energy data platforms, and it's really to help in the adoption of renewables and the acceleration of decarbonisation in the energy sector. We're very privileged to be able to do what we do, provide these solutions to both Victor and to sell it globally to a pretty interesting industry. Fantastic to have you all here. Hope you have a great feed. There is so much pizza. So, you know, have another round or two, and looking forward to hearing from the panel.
Thank you. Thank you, Josh. Thanks again for having us. So I just want to introduce the panel that we have this evening. Nicole Liu over here, who has been hanging out in Silicon Valley with experience as head of membership for Leeco US, also working at Tencent and doing highly relevant work on content generation at Alibaba. We also have Dr. Aliona Medellin with us. And I feel like you need little introduction because like every time I told someone that you were coming, they got like started nerding out and getting really excited. But for the minority here, Dr. Aliona is a highly cited academic and a successful NLP entrepreneur. And actually, Aliona, perhaps you can tell us a little bit about your venture thematic.
Should we use this?
For now, thanks.
All right. Hi, everybody. Great to be here. Thanks for inviting me. So I'm one of the co-founders and the CEO of Thematic. We analyze customer feedback to help companies understand customer feedback at scale, understand customer needs, act on them, improve customer experience. And we've been around for about 7.5 years. And we work with some amazing companies, mostly in the US. So our customers include companies like LinkedIn, Atlassian, Jetstar here locally, and even Watercare here in Auckland as well. I'm actually joined here by two people on my team, Nathan, my co-founder, and Rob on the AI and data science team. So both of them have helped me prepare because, believe it or not, despite my background in NLP, I've been spending the last few years focusing on commercializing the technology and running the sales and marketing of the team, but really excited by what this technology is bringing to the market.
Great. Thank you. Now, we are going to have a little social experiment going on throughout this event with you, the audience. So I was arguing with someone on Reddit the other day about ChatGPT, and I was talking about how ChatGPT generates the text token by token, and that's impossible, they said. I was like, okay, sure. Let's see if humans could do it the same way ChatGPT does. So I have a prompt on a clipboard over here that I'm going to hand to the first person in the front row of the audience, and it has a blurb which has started, but then stops abruptly mid-sentence. And what I'd like you to do is read it and then just decide what you think the very next word will be. Or if you think it's appropriate for the next thing to be punctuation, like a comma or a full stop, just do that and hand it to the next person. And at the end, we'll see how it looks, if it seems intelligible. There you go. Okay.
Hey Jordan, you are making humans machine, right?
Analog,
that's right.
Analog.
You're all nodes in the machine, yeah. So how many, like how deep and wide is this neural network that we got going? I talk about how many million parameters, Nicole, for the
It's 175 billion.
175 billion.
That's ChatGPT-3. I think probably more with GPT-4.
Right.
Yeah.
And those parameters, as they call them, that's number, not actually the number of nodes, right? That's the number of connections between the nodes.
Yeah.
I got that. Yeah.
The weights.
What about 100 nodes? Yeah.
This is a fully connected network, so. So with that kicked off, I'd love to start diving into our questions proper. Nickel, what is ChatGPT, or so-called LLM?
Okay, so LLM, it is large-scale language model. With ChatGPT, actually before ChatGPT, there are other, you know, language models. Once you have 100 billion or even more, you can say it's pretty large. But with ChatGPT, this one is based on Transformer. This technology actually invented by Google, but OpenAI fortunately got it to this stage. It's kind of like an AI iPhone moment. Yeah, I think you can think it as a large, very deep neural network, and that's about it. We can talk about why it works so well later. But there's another definition, that's my definition. I think it's quite interesting. You can imagine ChatGPT is a living life being trained with a lot of power, a lot of energy, but he living in a world with just text. And his goal is just to predict the next word. And that's the single goal for him. And that take him so far. This is amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to add to that answer, Aliona?
So my background is in linguistics, and I really like the idea of using examples, for example, to explain the whole idea of what a language model is. And they have been around for many years.
Yeah.
And word embeddings is an example of a language model. And what it does, it basically looks at context in which words and phrases are used. And for example, king and tsar, it would know that they're similar, but one is more likely to appear in a certain context. But queen and king, while they're also similar, they're also perpendicular to each other on a certain dimension. So a kind of vector space model, how it encodes the meaning of words and languages. Just one thing to add.
That's a great metaphor, thank you, yeah. And I think it's grounding to think about the fact that with all this media hype about it's totally sentient and like it has emotions and it feels trapped and all these things or whatever, it doesn't actually ever think about anything except what is the next word, right? Or punctuation. In fact, from its perspective, what is the next vector? It knows, in a sense, the body of text that it's learned, but it doesn't, like as a process, it doesn't think about anything beyond what would, given the text that's come so far, on average, to oversimplify, be the next vector that would be likely to follow when I represent all these words as vectors. Now, I'm curious, Aliona, if it's not IP, what were you using in the early days of Thematic to get your like prototypes out? What was it, like GenSim, word to vec type stuff? Was that involved?
Yes, definitely. And I think it's what really enabled Thematic to create technology to solve the problem. Basically, what we do is a company receives, let's say, thousands of pieces of customer feedback, and it's up to the AI to figure out when are people talking about the same thing. And without word embeddings, it would be very difficult to figure this out. You'd need to teach it which words mean the same thing. And it's kind of foundational. And one example I used just now and word embeddings struggle when the synonyms are named entities or multi-word entities. And just the other day, I put two examples into GPT-4. One example was, I watched GOT on TV. And another example was, I got to watch TV. And then ask it to explain the meaning of GOT, all written in lowercase letters. And it figured out that GOT in the first example states means Game of Thrones, and in the other example, the verb got. And impressive. It's just amazing, like the power of this technology and what it can do. And for Thematic, we needed to create workarounds for this or do different things to capture this knowledge.
Thank you. Yeah, just the depth and breadth of the neurons in ChatGPT just really allows it to capture so much more nuance, which I guess is where we see that kind of behavior emerging. And would you consider like GenSim word-to-vec type word embedding to be like an ancestor of ChatGPT? Could you draw a line of descendant technologies all the way through to ChatGPT from those? And either one of you can reach out to answer this one.
Okay, I would like to share a little story that happened in OpenAI in the early stage of GPT. Initially, they want to use this large language model, actually at the very beginning, not too large. To analyze training on the Amazon reviews. They found something really inspirational. That's when the neural network became bigger, the neurons, they just think, use a metaphor like that, there will be some neurons responsible for the sentiment that they want to use it to predict the next word of the review. Namely, they want to just generate reviews. But they found that as long as the model getting bigger, it kind of like the model got actual power to recognize the sentiment, which is if people feel like the product is good or product is bad. Inspired by that, they feel like, why not we make it bigger? Maybe it will generate more capability in the neural network. And I actually heard about another very famous researcher, David Silver, once said his insight of neural network is like, it is the thing can represent anything. This is super powerful. As long as you can train it with enough data and enough power, energy. So after that, they start doing bigger and bigger, even bigger. We want to try it at Alibaba because it's so expensive for any company, even Alibaba, to think about that. It's really hard. But once they found that, they just keep pushing. And they found something weird that the efficiency of the model can go down and then go up. So as they're getting bigger, it goes down and then go up. But if you keep pushing, it keeps getting up. So that's where they got inspired to make this super big model. And then they use it to fine tune it, to make it well aligned with human value and that all that. But this one thing I want to say is that basic model, you can make it well aligned with human. You can do the other way. It still met, pack all the information into that model. So it is very important for things like tonight being happening. We need to think about how you regulate AI instead of just make it more powerful. Yeah, that's my 2 cents here.
Thank you, yeah. Okay, so that segues quite well onto why can ChatGPT's model in particular work so well, because back when like GenSim word-to-vec was like state of the art, nobody was jumping up and down and going, if it's not performing well, you should just make the model bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's the answer to everything. Something tells me it wouldn't have produced the results that we're seeing with ChatGPT. And now, why can ChatGPT work so well?
You wanted to answer it.
I think I won. Because I'm very interested in this thing as well. It comes back to a very important question. Actually, it's the same of the whole artificial intelligence field. Like, nobody can actually give a definition of intelligence itself, right? But in the other field, information theory, Claude Shannon gave a very good definition of what is information. It is the reduce of the entropy, means reduce the uncertainty, right? But with artificial intelligence, nobody can give, you can ask 100 researcher, you probably get 150 definitions of that. But this is something we have to understand. Then we need this to understand why it works so well. But that involves my own definition. I think intelligence largely is ability to get information, means reduce uncertainty. If you say it the other ways, it is the ability to predict with limited information to predict what will happen next. And as I just mentioned, when people are training those models, what they are doing, they reward every time you get it right, predicting the next words or next token or next pixel. It works really well with text. It also works really well with images as well. You just need to train a model to predict next pixel. Then you will get DALL-E or even better. So this comes down to the understanding of intelligence itself. I think this is why it can work so well, because it is purely doing generate a compute intelligence by digest huge amount of information and then represent in a way in the deep neural network, the super big and the super deep. So that's why people ask us, say, does it has the ability to understand something like human? I would say yes, but not the same way. It definitely understands the words. As I mentioned, it is a living thing in their text words, but its goal is just to predict the next words. By achieving this goal, it has to understand every single word and its relationship and every sentence. So that's why Transformer can work really well for it.
I didn't do it.
Okay.
You just gave us a hot take there. You're saying it does understand things the way humans do. Can I get another take on that? Or maybe Ariana, if I was to throw that question at you, does ChatGPT really understand things as we humans do? And you know what people are thinking there, right? They're thinking like, oh, bring in the ethicists and, give it robot rights, so.
Okay.
Well, I think we don't know how humans understand language, how our understanding works. It's
fair point. And
the way I think about it, it actually helps us understand it. The fact that AI can simulate a conversation with a person in such a convincing way, it actually tells us something about how our brain works and how it represents languages. And if there's any parents here, and you might have seen how kids learn language, and sometimes a toddler that only just started to understand the word daddy suddenly would point at every male and say, daddy, 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 because hasn't gathered enough context to understand what it actually means. And very similarly, AI, it learns and gradually understands the nuance of word meaning.
And I can see this happening in real time with my kids. They look like they're being naughty when they push a boundary, and then they push it three times, they push it four times, push it half a time, and then they don't push it anymore, because what they've done is just done pattern recognition. They didn't actually know that there was a boundary until they verify, and then they've got the weights tuned, and they know not to do that.
Yeah. True. The other thing is, when we build our understanding, there's so many other inputs that we have. It's not just voice and text. We're seeing things, we're smelling. And up until recently, ChatGPT couldn't see, really. It kept separate with GPT-4. Now it's multimodal. It can't smell yet, but it probably will. Could be useful in your new
there
new
are it's definitely olfactory sensors starting to be hooked up to NNs. Yeah.
So I think it will get closer and closer.
Thank you. Yeah. An experience dabbling in symbolic programming, which I felt like gives me a little bit of insight to how things are coming together with ChatGPT, in that you could code, and things like images, animations, objects, strings were all just symbols, and you could do any operations between any kinds of symbols. And so I was just writing some code that in pseudocode would look something like, take this JPEG of a world and put a word Earth in the middle and make it spin or something. And those operations like spin, mid, you know, center, all those things could be kind of just done on anything. And it was this symbolic way of representing the world, which I think is really key to understanding what is the truly amazing thing happening in ChatGPT behind the scenes. Because I say all the things about is what's the next vector. But at the same time, in terms of its actual understanding of the text, I think it's able to do an incredible level of abstraction of the concepts represented by not just the words, but the combinations of words and the combinations of words across multiple passages of text and how they interconnect. And as you're mentioning, the way our brains work, that's just made me understand better how I use abstractions when I think. And it's actually something which I first heard about when Google was doing super wide, super deep NNs for translation, where they started seeing an emergent language in the translation. So they started realizing that they could sort of prove that there's an intermediary language, which the neural network is translating all other languages into and then back out of to the other language. And that was those abstractions that had developed for the concepts that we have different words for and adjacent words for, is that abstract symbolism. And I think that is playing a large role in the way it's able to relate similar concepts, because it's got, like, in the vector space, it's got these sort of cross-cutting vectors that represent these symbols, not just individual tokens. Righty, so I think we will jump over to the next question. And this is probably a big one that's on a lot of people's minds at the moment. How will it change your work? Will you still have work to change? We have a number of use cases to speak to here. Nicole, I know that you prepared a lot of material on this, and look out for our open playbook on ChatGPT for whatever industry you're in or your friends are in, loads of different ways that you can use ChatGPT in your day-to-day life. But I'll just rattle off what some of those kind of scenarios you might find yourself into where you want to use ChatGPT. Just day-to-day life, average person, right? A programmer, a lawyer, a teacher, a researcher, an investor, marketing, student, doctor, builder, farmer, politician, movie director, journalist, a citizen engaging in important aspects of civil life. Nicole, do you want to just pick one of those, your favorites off that list, and just dive into it a little bit?
Yeah, okay. I think I would like to come back to the moment that I was start using ChatGPT. I was like, try to learn another language, not natural language, the programming language. I found like for him to understand another language is just super easy. And I made some mistake in a piece of code, and then I just asked him to rewrite it, you know, perfectly. And then I want him to just translate this language into, for example, Python into C. It's just super easy. I try, it works. Actually, I think when you are thinking about this question, Johnny asked, what left for us human? You need to try to think about the core of your professional skills. I divide your professional skills into two different category. You'll figure out which category are you in. So for example, there's one category, I call it purely intelligence. Talent could be many different kinds. Let me give you one, play chess. If you are a world champion, play chess. Okay, you could retire. Actually, unless you enjoy losing every time, you know, you're just literally done. But that's for AlphaGo, AlphaZero, that sort of thing. Even the most difficult game it can play, that proves deep neural network can represent everything. The policy network will represent your strategy. The value network gonna represent your reward, means you do this and that, how much reward you could get. And the model gonna represent the whole world for you. So for the computer, they can just play the whole thing in their mind. And then that's standardized profession. If you are doing that sort of thing, then you probably don't have a very good career future. But there are other things. That is something I call it a category of wisdom. You know, in human life, there are a lot of things. Actually, no matter how much intelligence you can get, you just can't get it right. For example, you flip a coin, let the most intelligent machine to guess what would happen next. It can't do that. And this is very, very hard. And the other thing in the wisdom category is that you pick your goal, you do you, you are yourself. You set your own goal, you take the goal, you pick the pedal. Those things, it's not intelligence, it's wisdom. I call it wisdom. If in your career or your work or in your personal life, there are many of those kind of things, you are very good at those, then you don't need to worry about anything about this kind of intelligence. But if your work is something like, I'm gonna write a tagline for someone, I'm gonna generate a news, write a new a piece of news, or I'm gonna play chess, all those things can be well defined, then you're in a danger zone, in my opinion.
Oh, you know, I'm sure that you've been paying attention to ChatGPT and using it, and maybe you can give us, as a business leader, your perspective on what it can do for a business leader day to day.
Well, many people don't know this, but I cut hair as my side hobby, and I figure I'm safe. I'll be able to earn some money on the side. Yeah. I think people's job will be replaced by people who use this technology in their job. So I'm writing this article right now about insights analysts, and this is like all they do is analyze data and then communicate it to stakeholders. A lot of what they do will be automated. Maybe even a tool like Thematic won't even be required anymore if there is a solution that you can just check your data in and answer lots of questions about it. But you can actually go and ask GPT for ChatGPT and have a conversation about it and ask it, how will my profession be affected by this technology and how should I prepare? And I think everybody needs to have that conversation with the AI so that you're prepared. I haven't done it for my job yet, but I will.
Yeah, I have, certainly. But let me give you another take on that, right? What if you use it really, really well for your job? What if it makes you an order of magnitude more productive and your colleague didn't bother? Where are you going to be then? People are going to need less staff, maybe. So will you be one of those staff they need still? My suggestion would be make yourself as redundant as you can in your role by using ChatGPT every way that you can, but in doing so, multiply your output. And if there's any software engineers around, one thing that makes me laugh when people say, oh, we're not gonna need anywhere near so many software engineers. I always think about the backlog of 10,000 tickets sitting in everyone's Jira, and I'm thinking we might actually get to the bottom of our bug list or close to it. If all of our engineers become way more productive. So I'm not like super worried yet, especially when it comes to all the snippets of code need to actually get put into something kind of physical and pieced together.
Jordan, I have something to add here. Actually, everybody worry about their job. Actually, I worry about my job as well. And the other day I was talking to a top researcher in Alibaba, and we'll discuss what will ChatGPT will change the world. He was like, it will like the other thing. We already have the AlphaGo, that sort of thing. This time gonna be the same. Then I asked him a question. I think that's a test for your career as well. The test works like this. Imagine you're gonna go with AlphaGo or AlphaZero. You play together, pair together to play against some other team. The test is, if with you, your team gonna win more, if the answer is no, then the chance, the opportunity to work with the AI is disappearing as well. For example, if I against the game Lee Soo Dao together with AlphaZero, if our chance to win is the same, then we are useless. This is the test. So just think about that. There are a lot of things in your life, in your work, are unlimited complex. So it still needs wisdom. But there are something well-defined. They don't need you at all. But stay away with, like, you can try to be a good copywriter, but there's a extent that you can do as a human being. And the machine could go really far to do that, as long as it is well-defined work.
Thank you. Yeah, one kind of underrated thing that ChatGPT and similar models are going to cut into is entertainment. And look, I'm not like a tech prophet or anything like that. I don't make a habit of making kind of public predictions about things. I've made one prediction in my career publicly, I think, which was that within 5 years, legal departments and HR are going to need to start training on how to deal with the potential of a model being sentient and what to do about that. And I think it was 4 years and 11 months later, we had the debacle with the engineer at
Google,
yeah, who was saying that they believed the model is sentient, and it actually did become an HR issue, and they ended up being put on sabbatical. And so there you go. And the prediction that I want to make now, you can quote me on it, is that within 5 years, people spending too much time in alternative reality simulations is going to be a major headline buzz as a major health concern internationally. And I'll justify that a little bit. Here's something that you can try. Bit dangerous to put this out there, but go into ChatGPT. 4 is the best at it, but give it a scenario. So any Star Trek fans here? It's a few. So you'd say something like, simulate a text adventure game. And literally say, but instead of letting me choose from options of what to do, let me enter in any action. Then say, here's the scene. I'm on the bridge of the Star Trek Enterprise. I'm the captain. We've just found a new alien race. And everyone's looking at me, what to do? Go. And we will find you've got the best text adventure game you've ever played. You'll be able to do absolutely anything. It'll draw on the entire corpus of text adventure games that have ever existed. Like you could say, make this gritty. Make this dark fantasy, I don't know, whatever you want to do. And it will just draw on the entire body of literature for that and just throw that into your experience. And you can add any kind of character. You can say, there's going to be a character in this, and you'll be able to go and interact with that character. Now imagine taking that and adding it to a model that can generate images and video. People know that this is coming, generating video, right? And everyone's like, oh, well, we're going to be able to make our own movies. Is going to be way more profound than that. It's going to create your own, roll your own interactive realities. Think more video game. Chuck a VR headset on. But nobody sets any limits on what input this video game can accept. So watch this space. Now, I'm just going to rattle off a few other things which are in the playbook for what ChatGPT can do for different careers. I'll interrupt myself briefly here to say that this section, listing ways ChatGPT can help people in different situations, is much better consumed in our OpenAI playbook than listening to me list items in such a rush that I'm barely intelligible. You can read the OpenAI playbook at bit.ly/GPT4AKL. That's bit.ly/GPT4AKL.
Can I share a fun one?
You can do
one?
So many things. Here you go.
So the other day I was traveling for work and my daughter called me and she said, Mom, the Tooth Fairy didn't leave a coin under my pillow. Why? And I'm like, let's ask the Tooth Fairy. And I opened ChatGPT and started
I love it.
Putting my daughter's questions and Tooth Fairy was responding, and we learned many interesting things, wow, including castle made out of teeth.
And with that's like where no she lives, cognitive apparently. Effort.
No, it worked.
Wow, that's cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well played.
When I was young, I always complain about the government. They do this and that. Every one of you probably heard about like this, the transport code or some law or some bill, just 3,000 page long or 10,000 page long, right? I think with ChatGPT, we as citizens, it will be quite easy for us to just ask ChatGPT, give it a go, find all the catches in those documents. I think that will make the whole society works way better than before. And yesterday I was complaining about why the government built a wrong bomb around the area that looks like doesn't need one. But how can you argue that? You don't have time, you don't have even the budget to do that. But with this kind of technology, you can argue for free. And you can make the whole government work way more efficient. They can't just say, oh, this and that, you don't know. I know it from every word. So I think that's something will be very smart for everyone to start thinking about. You have someone who can argue for you with very scientific and efficient way. That's something will happen. And I welcome that come sooner, you know.
Do you, either of you, have any other just general tips for ways you can use ChatGPT in your day-to-day life? I love the Tooth Fairy one.
So I write, and what I found is that it's amazing at generating subheaders, titles, but it's sometimes it writes better, kind of simplifies and proofreads, but it often misses the nuance as well of what I'm trying to say. So a lot of the times it's actually faster for me to write it rather than make it write. But in general, just keeping it open in your tab and whenever you would have a question or whenever you are actually not sure what to look for in Google or in a different search engine, you can have a conversation with AI to help you narrow down the problem set.
Yeah, I have a couple because I got a very heavy user of ChatGPT. Let me share a couple of them. So just if you would like to find some advice for your personal life, I think I suggest you don't go there, you know, because, you know, it's easier, you know, to make a formal marketing stuff for your boss or for your customer. But never do that to your wife, you know. This is not the right way to go. But for your career, for your business, I think I do have some tips. So firstly, for example, if you are a lawyer, ask ChatGPT or such kind of bots saying, I am a lawyer. What can you help me? He probably lists 10 things. And you can ask him saying, can you give me an example for each of them? And then you know how he can help you. This is one thing. And then you really ask some question, he will give you a very good, at least looks good answer. And then you always put that magic word. Really? This magic word is very, very important. Why? Because, you know, the model, you need to know how it works. He is trying to fake a thing. He tried to guess the highly likely the answer is. He's not sure, even though he looks like he's very sure.
And in fact, it's trying to think what would almost most commonly be answered question.
And then when you say that word, really, he get that information and all of a sudden doubt himself and then check everything if there's anything wrong. And often there is something wrong there.
It's probably starting you're probably triggering it to draw on a corpus of the experts who challenge the most common answers.
Yes. So this is my tip. But again, let's talk back to your professional life and your business. So I think the best way to use it is you need to know what's your core skill with your professional career. Why you are there? Why not someone else? The hardest issue you can take on what it is and ask that question to him and test if he can come back with some answer better than you, if or on par with you. If he can, means you can trust him to give you very good answer. If he can give you a much better answer than yourself, you probably want to change your career. That's for your professional life. And for your business, I used to start my running my business. There's only one thing for a business to do, is deliver value to your customer at a lower and lower cost. So you want to ask him, how can he help you to lower the cost? And the other part, I don't think he can help you too much. That's the area of wisdom. You position your business into your advantage. That's my answer to like how you're gonna use it. It is just a tool, and you want to use it as if it is just a knife, a gun, or you don't often use gun, but anyway. Yeah.
One question for you. Really? No, it's a good one, I remember.
Yeah. Thank you, yeah. And I think some of the most profound industrial changes we're going to see out of ChatGPT is the language models integrated with other things, right, like visual models, and essentially anything which can take real life or context and transcribe it. So if you can take an image and transcribe it, which is obviously a common AI task these days, then you can harness the power of ChatGPT to analyze that image. If you can get a system to transcribe the activity in your factory line, then you can ask ChatGPT questions about your factory line, including which dials and knobs should be adjusted. If you then parse its recommendations out into an API or something which can actually action those with your machinery, then now you've got like an end-to-end ChatGPT is controlling stuff, right? If you've got limitations around how much text memory ChatGPT has in a single session right now, it's growing. But the API is getting better. There's proper commercial like API plans with SLAs and stuff now with ChatGPT. But the possibilities right now, it really is the iPhone moment that Nicole was talking about, where we've got this new thing called an app, bunch of sensors. What can we do with that? And the applications were where there was the explosive impact. And it'll be the same thing with ChatGPT. The more ways that we find to connect language model to inputs and outputs, the more it'll transform all industries, which it absolutely will. One kind of cool trick I learned recently for that, for integrations, was that if you give ChatGPT the schema of a database table, it's then able to write give you sensible queries for querying that database table. So if you give it the right level of access you want it to have, you can say, what query do I need to run to answer this question? And it can give you them. So if you can extract those and run them and then like feed it back the results of those queries, then you can continue your analysis, right? So you've got interaction via data sources like that. So the sky is really the limit on what tricks you use to do this. We've just got one last question on our main questions before we dive into a few questions from our members, which are pre-curated, by the way. Thanks to everyone who submitted questions. We did read them all, and just given the time that we have in the evening, we've had to curate to the top few favorites. So apologies if we missed yours. But our last question here is, from an investment perspective, how can we ride the wave of this new iPhone moment?
So, disclaimer, I'm not going to offer the investment recommendations, but I think I have three things I want to share with you guys. One is, if you reflect your whole life, you will find that invest into yourself gonna be always the most profitable investment. At this moment, it's the same thing. You want to play with it, learn to use it, and get deep into it, figure out the tips that nobody knows, and that sort of learning gonna give you most of it. I think, previously, probably for a programmer, you have to learn 5 years to be that good. But maybe just for now, you just need to be 5 weeks. And you want to invest that 5 weeks to be a programmer if you need to do that. And that's one thing. And the other things I really want to share with you guys is you want to avoid a lot of things. Actually, when you talk about investment, especially like iPhone moment or internet moment or car moment, it was often not the right moment to jump into this. Like 100 years ago, there are 5,000 car companies in the US. And how many do we have right now? Think about your investment. And there are like thousands and thousands of internet companies as well. At the very beginning, people think, internet gonna be the thing. It is the thing. It will revolutionize the whole society. But your investment into some startup might not be survive in the whole thing, because it's 1 in 5,000 or 1 in 1 million, you know, that sort of chance. So in the investment community, we have a saying, you want to count the moon. You don't want to count the stars, because it's just too much, right? So I noticed that there are a lot of company, their stock just tripled because they have AI in their name. That's what's happening, right? So you want to avoid that. That's the second thing. And the third thing, that is with the knowledge of something not going to work, and you really want to think far away, like 10 years later, what's gonna happen? I don't want to make predictions because it's probably the best way to embarrass yourself. But anyway, I think you want to think about that. What will happen is that, because I think 2017, when we have the first Auckland AI meetup, I was talking about, on the stage, I was talking about it's coming that we are going to selling intelligence, not software, not service. And we are doing a little bit with Google or that sort of thing. But right now, I think Google is like intelligence, but it's a wholesale. But right now it's a retail. So you can have your own intelligence, your own style. And this is very important. At the very beginning, I think it will be intelligence being selling. And later it will be part of wisdom. Wisdom always go with your goal. For example, Google Map can do a very good job taking you from A to B. But if you travel in Auckland, you don't want to go from A to B too fast. Right. So a lot of time, efficient is good, but sometimes efficient is not good. And people will be scared even more when the intelligence looks like and feels like silly, but actually very intelligent. You know what? And make the mistake. For example, if you got kids, you want to teach him chess, for example. You don't want to win all the game, right?
No.
But how many are you going to lose, right? So this is a wisdom and intelligence to everyone. So I think back to investment, I think there are lots of opportunity, but you have to think, you have to invest in yourself, avoid the basic mistake, and to survive, always think about risk instead of like, Warren Buffett once said, famously said that the most important thing in investment is to keep your money. And the second thing is think about the first thing, right? So I think it is a big opportunity out there, but think it long-termly. When everybody got those things, what they will do with that? A lot of time, the channel, not the source, gonna win the game. For example, Comcast, the American company, they are the owner of a lot of movie companies. Why? Because they got the channel, the tab, as a TV.
NLP AI used to be really difficult to do. GPT makes zero-shot models much easier. Should we throw out all our old models and go fully on board with GPT, or does traditional NLP still have uses and benefits?
I would say throw them all away.
Wow.
To be honest, if somebody told me that AI will be able to do what it can in my lifetime, I would have said, there's no way. So I'm blown away every day by what it can do and what it knows and the suggestions it gives. And I think the best thing we can do is, like, how can we leverage it? How can we write those prompts to make it do what we want it to do and learn as much as we can about this technology?
Right. Wow. That's kind of a scary statement, but it's hard to disagree with.
I just want to pause for a quick moment here to give due respect to our colleagues who are hard at work advancing the field of NLP with their research. Because while ChatGPT is scarily powerful, these comments are partly tongue-in-cheek. For one thing, any model being worked on now could be the next breakthrough like ChatGPT, especially as more research starts being scaled up, like ChatGPT has already had the benefit of doing, and new models could even outperform ChatGPT, especially in specialized areas. ChatGPT has significant limitations and unpredictability, which prohibit it from being useful in certain fields. And in these fields, work being done by other researchers will pick up the slack and even integrate with ChatGPT in synergistic ways. So with full respect to our colleagues in the field of NLP, who stand side by side, of course, with those responsible for the breakthroughs in ChatGPT, let's continue.
All right, and feel free to hold on to the mic there. The pace of AI innovation seems to have increased so much with GPT 3 and 4. How do you keep up with it all and stay sane?
There's only this much you can do. Something we do at Thematic is we have a tech reading channel, and whoever finds something interesting, they share that piece of news on it. And in order to keep pace, I would say trying it out is the number one thing, because we learn by using, experimenting with things, and way more than by reading a news article. And yeah. So that's my advice.
For engineers always learning new frameworks and things, it is not really a new problem.
Exactly.
You know, it's every day there's like a new front-end framework. And yeah, it's just really a matter of keep mucking in. Like I'm using ChatGPT for about half the things I used to Google now. I've got both tabs, you know, and I think that'll only grow.
I think. Yeah. If anything, developers are better prepared for this, because everybody else now will have so many new ways of doing their job. They'll have to keep up with
good
with
point
how things are changing.
I think maybe you can outsource to him. I mean, the AI, right? Because I don't make too many predictions, but I think right now you don't have to make predictions. It is already reality. You can write a bot, let him aggregate news that you care about. You just need to set the goal, like what you want to know about. It could be any field, it could be any news. And right now, it's the best timing to do it, because the news right now, it's not like 3 years or 20 years before. There's a lot of fake news. There's a lot of news that you don't want, but come to you. You want to take advantage of AI, to let him make something for you, not some creepy recommendation engine from Facebook or whatever platform want you to just stay with them, right? You want to make something that just work for you. And it's pretty easy, you know, just ask. I want to keep up with something, bring some news to me every day. That's just very simple.
Now that we're at the end of the show, I'll introduce myself. I kind of forgot that part. I'm known in this community as AI Joe, and I work for Way Beyond. As you can see, we're a data-driven and AI-driven company in agricultural technology. And part of my job is evaluating technologies like ChatGPT for how they can play into this area. And, you know, there's lots of great opportunities. There's a lot of fake news in ChatGPT, we could just make a chatbot and just get everyone to ask their questions about their smart greenhouses of ChatGPT, but it's gonna just make stuff up half the time. I asked it to write me a script to do something that a framework can't do, but it just made up something that the framework might have and just say, here, use this. So you do need to check it. And I've been exploring integration options and so on to tune it to tell the truth about what's important for you and the ground truth. You've got to bear in mind that ChatGPT is trained on 2-year-old data as well. You can't just ask it things about the reality in the moment without providing that to it either. There's one last question here, which I think I'll wrap up with, which is, what are some good resources to stay ahead of the curve of new consumer-ready AI applications?
Twitter. Twitter. I think Elon Musk is angry at
it. And I'll just plug TLDR AI. They have great, just like bite-sized pieces of updates that helps you keep across things. And with that, I just want to thank VTS for having us once again, and thank you all for being here. And I hope you all learned something and enjoyed it as much as we did on the panel. And let's give our panelists a round of applause.
Jordan, do you want to read that?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Sorry.
I nearly forgot. Oh my goodness. The highlight of the evening. Human Chat GPT-4 says, "Dear staff, please pay attention to all the following instructions. Since we currently have no office assistant and the kitchen has been getting," and that was the prompt. So the remaining is, "The kitchen has been getting dirty, comma. Please make sure it is kept clean. The plates need a wash. All cups and glasses in the dishwasher are ready to be washed. Once all the dishes are clean, please put your dishes away. Thank you." I think that if you could pin that up in an office wall and no one would bat an eyelid, it's fine. And nobody here wrote more than one word of it on the prompt. So can work, does work that way. So there, dude on Reddit. Cool. Thanks everyone for your participation. That's great.